Now, yeah, today we're going to be looking at the act of Thanksgiving, the act, A-C-T, of Thanksgiving, or better put, how to thank God properly, how to do these things properly, how to thank God properly, or the process of Thanksgiving, or the preparation towards Thanksgiving, how you want to write it. So, but it's still at the end, put Thanksgiving. So that is important. The Thanksgiving is important thing. So, yeah. Now, today we're dealing with mis-ideologies of Thanksgiving. And we're going to be looking at the standpoint of Thanksgiving. We're going to look at the preparedness of Thanksgiving. Like, this is like the summary of what I'm going to be talking about today. The preparedness of Thanksgiving and why we should thank God and the benefits that comes with thanking God. Now, we're going to start from these ideologies, yeah? Before I open the scripture, before I go to my first text, yeah? We know we have this ideology. People have probably come to the mindset of we have to thank God first before we make a request. That is a wrong ideology. You know where this thing came from? It came from the fact or probably the law, because they were unworthy. So they could not approach God. They had to offer something, offer a sacrifice before they can come to God. So that's where the ideology came from, that you have to thank God first before you make a request. And that this has become a lifestyle for every believer, that you think Thanksgiving is the first thing you need to do before you pray. Now, and also we that never had the law, we brought it from shrine mindset, where we think that, oh, when you go and meet the Ifa priest, yeah, people that don't know Ifa, like a shrine, an idol, you have to present, oh, I've come again, no, you like a means of cajoling the idol before you make a request. Now, do you know us, we that have been redeemed in Christ, you know, we are worthy. So we're not trying to earn worthiness, so we are worthy. So because we are worthy, we don't need to thank God first. So it means there's no structure to thanking God. It can be at the beginning of a prayer. It can be at the end of a prayer. It can be all you just do. So there's no specificity to where you have to put your thanksgiving. Another thing again I want to like deal with before opening our first text is the idea of, oh, if I don't thank God, something will happen to me. Now there's a thin line between faith and work. Because at that point in time, you're thinking your thanksgiving is actually what's giving you the answer, not your trust in God. Very profound. Very profound. We don't thank God because we want to obtain a request from God. Now, let me even drop this punchline here before I continue. We thank God because we love Him. We're going to see it later. We're going to see it in the whole text, in the picture. I'm going to paint a picture that we all will see. Please go with me. Now, let's open Isaiah chapter 1. Today, I'm not like this kind of person that reads Old Testament teaching, but now, today, the Holy Spirit led me to start him from Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1. When I saw this, I was like, whoa, Isaiah 1. Do you know how Thanksgiving can be rejected? It's funny. That's what I wanted to see. Your Thanksgiving can be rejected, bro. It can be. You cannot be fooled. They understand that one. So your Thanksgiving can be rejected. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 1 verse. Let's start from there's a lot to read though. Let me read from my phone, please. This the way it is, okay, like it's all over my face. Isaiah chapter 1, yeah. Once we're reading, we won't take a long reading, but I'm gonna be skipping while I read. Yeah, he said verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Verse 4. As sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, that are forsaking the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Now let's go to verse 11. And I said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, said the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, of lambs, of goats. Follow me. When ye come to appear before me, who have required these at your hand to tread my court? Bring no more vain oblations, incense and abomination to me. The new moons and the sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Now, you see, I've read something here. Let me explain. God did not say he did not like those things. He said, yeah. But he said it. Now, you know why he said it? Because of their heart. They were full with iniquity. So now let me tell you this. The first reason your thanksgiving will not be accepted is if your heart is not right. The Bible said their heart was filled with iniquity. Because their heart was filled with iniquity, God even called their offerings iniquity. Now, I will let you know what iniquity. I'm going to be looking at the New Testament and see a lot of stuff. Now, let me say this. The state of your heart is important when you're giving. Giving thanks, praying, worshiping, offerings, whatever you're doing, the state of your heart is important. I want to say this. The Bible said, we pray and we don't receive answers because we pray amiss. Because we want, James chapter 4, we pray, today we're going to be quoting a lot of scriptures. James 4, he said, we pray and we don't receive answers because we pray amiss. Now, and I said the next verse, because you want to spend it on your selfish lust. Now, you know, as a Christian, your intent is the most important thing. Your heart is the most important thing. So the position of your heart determines if you're thinking rightly. What is my position? What is my standpoint? Am I saying I'm going to thank God because I have a view of asking something in return? That is a wrong motive. That is a very wrong motive. So meaning your motive is what God sees. Now, you know, the Lord told Samuel in, is it not 1 Kings chapter 16 now? The Lord told Samuel, go and anoint David. It's 1 Samuel 16 actually. Yeah, 1 Samuel 16. Now, and when Samuel got there, he saw Eliab. Eliab was built, chiseled, muscular. I'm not Eliab, I'm David in this case. let's go with me. So now when Samuel saw Eliab, he said, this must be the king. God said, I don't act like men. I don't look at the outward appearance, but I look at the intent. In thanksgiving, what God is looking at is your intent, not the substance being given. Very profound. Very profound. Very profound. Spot on, bro. Spot on. Your intent, your heart, why am I doing what I'm doing? As a believer, why you're doing what you're doing is what matters, not what you're doing. You can sleep in church 24/7 and have no reward because of why you're doing it. Some people, they do this because they have, I heard someone talk to me one day. They said, I'm going to give to the orphans because I'm going to get money. Now, people are saying, wow, a lot of us, one way or the other, you use thanksgiving to bribe God. Your idea of thanking God is like a bribe. Let me bribe him first. Your intent is the most important thing. So if the Lord rejects such offering, let it be service, let it be prayer, let it be thanksgiving, let it be worship. The Lord cannot inhabit such. See, now I want us to, I don't want to be opening a lot of scriptures. I'm going to be quoting them from my head. Now in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel came to give offering. Now contrary to the idea they gave to us that Cain offered a rotten product. That's a lie. It's not scripture. Let's read it. Genesis 4. The scripture is our evidence. Now, follow me. I don't have time. I want to be fast enough so I can be able to say a lot of things I want to say. Genesis chapter 4. He said, halirago seprehes. Gabri dizo kovlani threes a freeze. Sepriyakte skili yinde karodos kevis. Said, bring your burdens to me. Say, I'm here. I've come to lift them off your shoulder. Now, Genesis 4, verse 3 said, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. Unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. The Bible never said in this point that it was rotten product. It never insinuated. Now, I don't know where they got that from, book of my Bible story. I don't know where they got that from, our Christian religious studies in Nigeria. I don't understand where they got it from. Now, it never said here. Now, I want to let us know, this book was written by Moses, yeah? He was not there when this happened. So he had to paint a picture that we could relate. Now, but in 1 John 4, in Hebrews chapter 11, we could see why it was rejected. Now, let's go to 1 John 4. See, please follow me. We're talking about act of thanksgiving, properly giving thanks to God. Now, hey, there's a lot of things popping up. Hey, Gashatri dish. Ooh. There's someone here, you've had sleepless nights, like even for a couple of time, even before this night, before today's meeting, you could not sleep. Now you find you've developed a habit of not sleeping at night, and you think it's normal. Now, let me tell you what's the devil's plan. The devil wants to keep you that place, and you're going to get a drunk diagnosis. A diagnosis that's going to shock you. But Lord is telling you now that you're going to sleep properly from today henceforth. First John chapter 4. First John 3, verse 15. Verse 15 now. Verse 12. First John 3, verse 12. He said, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him. English. Slew he him. Because his own works were evil. Now, in this part, the scripture said the works of Cain was evil. Now, what kind of evil? Now, let us read Hebrews 11, verse 4. We're going to be doing, please write down these scriptures. When you get home, read them. Like read them. Hebrews 11, verse 4. He said, by faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now, he said, by faith. So, what was wrong with, with Cain's offering was faithless. Cain was faithless. Cain did not offer God his sacrifice in faith. Now, and what is the embodiment of faith? Faith is everything that is accomplished in Christ Jesus. Now, Hebrews 11 was able to tell us a clean picture of what was happening. Because, like I said, Moses was trying to write to us what he saw happened. Now, in Hebrews, he said, okay, today I'm going to be looking at this faith properly, but in a different light. He said, he offered without faith. Because Abel offered with faith, he said he was righteous. And he obtained righteousness. And because Cain did not offer with faith, his works were evil. So, a faithless sacrifice is an evil sacrifice. So, God cannot accept it. See, there's nothing you can do about it. Let it be $1 million. The people that will enjoy it is the pastor and the church. Thank you. Please bring the money. Now, it's just reality. God is not going to accept it. Now, what should be our heart? What should be the standpoint of our heart when we're giving? Like I said, the first thing is, we should look at God from a point of love. We should give from a point of love. Now, how do I know this? So he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Basic. The basics of giving is in love. So he said, he loved men. He showed us a way to give. See, in John 1 verse 18, Christ said, no one has seen the Father at any time. Except he that came from the Father, and he has declared the Father. The word declared there means manifest, expose, expose. That was me, expose the Father, and reveal the Father. Now, in Christ Jesus, we can now see the proper way to give. Said, God loved men, he gave. So, our giving should be as a result of our love for God. Something I read today, I want us to see it. Let's read Songs of Solomon. I know we don't read it often. Songs of Solomon chapter 2. This scripture we don't read it often. Songs of Solomon chapter 2. You see? Whoo! Hey, Lagabadacious. Now unto the Lamb upon the throne. Now unto the Lamb upon the throne. Hey, Grabadis, because the leader goes. Yeah, verse 4. Now, I love this translation, this scripture from a different translation. We're going to be reading like five translations. Please go with me. He said in ERV, he said, my lover took me to the wine house. His intent toward me was love. Now, NLT said, he escorts me to the banquet hall. It is obvious how much he loves me. So now, did like God, Solomon saying, to the extent that God loves him. And God showed his love to us by giving the extent of his love. Are you asking yourself, how did God love me? Now, before I even say that, if you are thanking God if you're asking yourself, why should I thank God? Why should I thank God? What reason should I thank God for? If you are thinking this, okay, let us start from love. Secondly, are you asking yourself, how did God love me? Every page of the scripture was written for you. You know? Every page of the scriptures. He said, what should I start from like this? He said, in Romans chapter 5, he said, since we've been justified in Christ, we have peace with the Father. That is love for us. He said in Hebrews 8, down there, like the last verse, he said, I'm going to write my law in your heart, and your mind shall I put them. He said, you will need no teacher to teach you no more. He said, because the Lord will be your teacher. That's what he has done for you. Now, if you're asking yourself, Hebrews 7, the last part of Hebrews 7 says, he says something. He said, he's able to save to the utmost those that come to him. His love is clean in the scriptures. Not only that, Ephesians 2, he said, we were godless. We had no God. He said, we were outcasts. Said, we were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. Then him now said the same thing. He has brought us into a household, a family. I did not stop there. The last verse of Ephesians 2:22 says, he says, God has made us an inhabitation where he lived by the Spirit. Why won't you thank God for it? You know, most of us, our mindset of thanking God is when we have money. If your thanksgiving is material, it is temporary. It's going to shock you. At a time, you ask yourself, why should I thank God? Bible said in 1 John 4, he said, things, this is 1 John 4 now, I think 1 John 4, he said, the things that we know, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, he said, the things that we see are temporary, and things that we don't see are permanent. And that's how God sees. So if I'm thanking God for car, for clothes, for job, a time will come, you apply for a job, you not get it. Then what to do? We thank God for permanent things. And that is his love for us. Because his love for us is permanent. He never changes. He said in Isaiah, is it 54 now, 51? He said, a while I hid my face out of annoyance, but with everlasting kindness I will show my face to you. That is why you thank the Lord. That is why you should thank the Lord. Let your thanks be soaked, be saturated in love. I give because I love God. Say it. I give because I love God. I give because I love God. See, my thanksgiving is not a way to woo God. It's not a way to woo God. No way to woo God. Now, let me go to another section. Another point of another state of our heart while we're thanking God is thanking God from a state of he is capable. I wrote a state of capabilities. I don't have time. That's why I'm not reading the scriptures. I'm just quoting it. So, another state of your heart, I mean a position of your heart while you're thanking the Lord is from a position where you know he is capable. Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, what he did, like there was people that were hungry, he took the food, he said he blessed the name of the Lord. He served it. John 11, he went to Lazarus' tomb. He said, Lord, I thank you because you hear me always. Romans chapter 4, Abraham believed God, even his deadness of Sarah's womb, or how old he is, never mattered. Please, let's read that one. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. See? When we thank God, we're thanking him because we know he is capable to fulfill everything he has said concerning us. So we thank him. We thank him. Let me even drop this. I don't know if I'm going to say it again later. Now, thanking God based on his capability makes you live in a reality that he is living. So you begin to live in his reality. Because in his eyes, it is done. So even if there's no physical manifestation, physical evidence, it is done. And that is faith. That is faith. So because you don't see it, when you thank the Lord for it, you are living. I said we should open with us. Romans 5. Romans 4. Sorry, Romans 4. Romans 4 verse 19. Let's start from there. He said, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know why? He said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So we thank God from a point of God is capable. His capabilities are unlimited. He said, the word impossibility, it is with men. He said, all things are possible with God. That is why we thank him. So I can come to this and say, Lord, I thank you because I've received this. Let me tell you something. Let me even say this now. There is a pattern of shaping your life, speaking, hearing, and speaking again. Now, when you say, Lord, I thank you because I know I am healed, it influences your mind. You say again. Now, you say again, it influences your mind, you say again. A time will come, though the pain is there, but it's as if you are healed. No, not as if. In your consciousness, you are healed. And that is what faith is. We should develop a habit of thanking God for things we have not received. But by doing this, we live in God's reality. And that is the idea. God wants you to see the way he sees things. Wow, there's a verse I did not read. He just came back. Let's open 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. The Lord is awesome. My phone. 1 Kings chapter 3. I want to read, you know, how Solomon offered his sacrifice. You know, most of us, we don't really know these things. How Solomon offered his sacrifice, you know. You know, let me say this. Solomon did not offer sacrifice in bid of saying that after I've offered the sacrifice, God will call me, then I'm going to say my request. Can I say it again? Solomon did not offer a sacrifice to God because he was like, oh, let me offer it now. God is going to come to me. Then I'm going to say my request to him. It's written there because he loved the Lord. We're going to say it. Why are you? Verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. Walking in the statue of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. King Solomon. See, Solomon loved the Lord. That was why he could actually give thousands of oxen. He gave it. He was not like saying because he didn't give it because he has enough. So he gave it because he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. Now I want to see something again. Let us open 2 Chronicles 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. See, there's plenty. I mean, it's plenteous. Plenteous in the scriptures to realize why you should thank God. There's a lot of things you can look and be like, whoa, I need to thank the Lord. You wake up in the morning, you can just shuffle, you can scream, yes, Lord. You can dance, you say, Lord, I thank you. You can say, you can do, see, Thanksgiving is not limited. No, because most of us are from Nigeria. How we say Thanksgiving? We have to prepare yam, prepare cow, goat, chicken. I know, I remember my church then, they used to wait after service so that they can share the products with the ministers. You have to wait after service so that I can share the products. You are there. Yeah, now, but that is not the concept. Thanksgiving is our lifestyle. You wake, you think. You see, someone is writing an exam, an official exam, like a major exam. The Lord is telling you, don't joke with your studies. Now, you see, nobody said amen, yeah? You know, it's funny. You think, see, so the Lord will make you pass without reading. That's funny. I thought we should open which verse? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 6. I don't have time, so I'm rushing. And, we're not going to read it. You can get home and read it. Let me give you a background. Now, before Solomon went to offer the sacrifice, he was recounting what he was doing there. If you read the whole from 6 to 7 to 8, he was recounting, telling the Lord what he has heard about God. So he was like meditating, but meditating out loud. If you read the whole 5, 6, 7. So chapter 5, the last verse of chapter 5, he says there was cloud in the tabernacle that they could not minister. Then in verse 6, Solomon started. So if you read 6 and 7 and 8, you see, so before Solomon actually did the sacrifice, he was meditating out loud, talking about God and what he knows that God can do. Now, Solomon never had the scriptures. What he had is what they wrote all until that his time. Now, we have scriptures compiled. We have it. Now, so our heart should be meditating on God's word. Now, he said, Cain was faithless, so it was called evil. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what Solomon was doing then was, in quote, brooding, meditating on faith. Because that was what they had at that point in time. Because he knew this was what God can do. When you get home, please, I challenge you, read it. This is what and what God can do. So now, like I said, before you give, before you thank God, you're praying, you're thanking God, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for this. Let your heart be set in love and to be set on God's capabilities. Now, let me go to the last section. Why should we give thanksgiving? What are the benefits? I've already answered the question why. You know, I did not say from the scriptures how I got it. So now, Jesus is going to Lazarus' tomb and saying, Lord, I thank you because you hear me. Lazarus, come forth. Before he went there, verse 10, or earlier in verse 11, probably earlier in verse 11, he said, Lazarus sleepeth. Because he knew that God can wake him up. So now what Jesus was doing was living in the reality of God. So when he said, Lord, I thank you because you hear me always, actually was living in the reality of what God presents. So now, why would you thank the Lord? Because when we do this as a lifestyle, we begin to live in the consciousness and reality of God. It is important. Is it your substance? Is it your service? You can serve and thank God. Is it your worship? Is it your prayers? Is it your dancing? Is it your money? Whatever you're doing, you can do it properly. Now, asking yourself, benefit. Now, there's certain operations that occur in Thanksgiving that you don't need to ask for. How to put this? Now, the Bible said, what you bring, good measures shaking together, running over. Now, Bible did not say give expecting a run over, but when you give, there's an operation that happens that will run over. Let me say again. Now, when we thank the Lord, there's an operation in itself, in thanksgiving, that causes an increase. Now, that is not why we are thanking. That is why people can thank the Lord and have manifestation. Because there's an operation in itself, in thanksgiving, that brings a running over. So, look at Jesus Christ now. He said the Lord, he blessed the food and he multiplied. See, I told myself, I will not curse people anymore. Not because I said, okay, let me say why I said it. Now, that's why I don't really, in quote, put it to heart when somebody intentionally duped me or do something to me. I don't really curse them. And because there's a pressure in itself reality. I don't curse them. I don't put my mind in it because there's an oppression. And when you do something bad, it comes to you. I'm trying to say something. An oppression in thanksgiving that in itself is going to cause a run over. So you don't need to set your mind towards, oh, I'm going to give because I want to get something behind. Something from it rather. So you are giving with love, but yet in that oppression, there is something that's going to happen to you. That is why we think we are healed and we are healed. That's why we think that we've passed an exam, we've passed the exam. That's why we think that we are set free. Hey, yeah, that's the word. Now, there's someone here and you've been oppressed, like at night, you've been oppressed. Now, you could really notice it even when you wake up, you feel unrefreshed. The Lord is telling you, I've come to set liberty for you. You've been liberated, you've been delivered. I want to say it again. You have been oppressed. The Lord is telling you, yes. The Lord is telling you, you are set free. Now, finally, because I have a lot to say. This is like beginning. Yeah, it's like beginning though. Like beginning. Now let's read Luke, last scripture for today. Luke 17 verse 18. No, I'm not gonna do that one. This is the last scripture.
No, like that. There's no time.
Luke 17. Yeah, like there's a lot of things to really say. There's a lot of scriptures that we can really quote and talk about this. See, I don't even say this. This is what establishes us. So don't be bored when scriptures are quoted. Write them down. Go back home and read it. That is what that is where growth is. Now Luke 17 verse 18. Pardon me that I'm using my phone to read. I don't know why I feel comfortable on my phone. Don't be angry. Luke 17, yeah. Now, this is about the story of the leper and so on. So let's read Luke 17, 17. Now, and just okay. Let me give you a background. He says, they were like, Jesus was walking, met 10 lepers. They now called on Jesus, help us. So actually, have mercy on us. That's what he said in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God. Save this stranger. Now, you see this thing? Let me read it from a different translation. It will make more sense. He said, where are you now? TPT. He said, so where are the other 9? Jesus asked. Weren't they 10 who were healed? Then Jesus said to the healed man lying at his feet, arise and go. It is your faith that brought you salvation. Let me read the Amplified version. He said, verse 19. And he said unto him, get up and go on your way. Your faith, your trust and confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored your health. So thanksgiving is supposed to come from your trust and your confidence that actually sprang from your belief in God. And you know, King James said, you are whole. TPT said, you receive salvation and healing. So among all of them, only him was saved. Why I brought this out is, I want to repeat it and summarize. There's an operation in giving. When you give, things turn out well for you. But that is not why we give. We don't give because of the result. We give from a standpoint of love and God's capability. And in this love, we recognize that we can trust the Lord to fulfill everything he has done for us, everything he has said towards us. Even if we can't see it physically, there's no manifestation, we still believe. And we still keep thanking the Lord. So if there's anything, I'm going to give us like the next 3 minutes. If there's anything you've been expecting from God, and you've not gotten it, now thank the Lord for it. The next 3 minutes, thank the Lord for it. Whatever you've been expecting from God. Kelidos, Kivira, Amt, Zalidos, Tradeza, Valley, Ronusa, Prates, Kiflandes, Rabida, Kalieve, Kandeskizo, Lofri, the Pranta, Setali, Actes, Kavis, and Opra, Pavi, the Lenundra, Vicap, to Sekli, Ida, Oskes, Rabbi the days of Rabbi the Dove, the Sepliro Nuske Vira Papaskeske, Halita Nanda, Meranu Fepratus, Ultra days, Hakliga Vav, Haklira Dose, Haklira Babase Vira Nanskos, Melina Vesupra Pateligo Dose Kapahatesis, Ubara de Deska, Haliva Cronondo Suplegir and Iso Sumontos, for I thank you. I worship you. Raide Glacia Soviantes. Clanin a fandra nuriminda para ulla favra is a setilinus. Heart a gosura bekaliga kisa sin antuna la nandre deis a brahas coli revirobo sutayata iska. Agatascula mangre deiska. Father, we thank you. I thank you for this situation. I thank you. I thank you for this situation. I thank you for this situation. I thank you for this situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Look up here. Look up here. One more thing. We're not going to read it from the scriptures. The Lord just brought the scriptures to my mind. Galatians 4. I think it's 4:19 or 4:20. I can't remember, but in Galatians 4, he says, to you that has been baptized into Christ, has put on Christ. Now, you know, the word put on Christ is from the Greek word endio. It means to cover, to invest and cover properly. Now, let me give you a quick picture. Imagine there's a gift. You know, there's a gift. You want to give someone a gift, yeah? And you wrap it in a box. People don't see the gift. People see only the box and the wrappings. Now, that's how the Lord has wrapped us with Christ. Now, because I've asked myself several questions, like several times, does God see me? Does he see my wife? Does he see pastor? Does he see this? Does it happen like that? God sees Jesus. Now I'm saying this. Know that God has invested Jesus upon your life. It is a reason to thank the Lord. He said, when Christ, whom is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. He said, I have come that I might show you the true God, and you are him. We are in him that is true. First John 5, I think last part of it, 1 John 5. Thank the Lord because God has put so much. That God showed us love at the expense of Christ. Thank the Lord for it. Father, I thank you for today's meeting. I worship you. I thank you for your flow. I thank you for your manifestation. I thank you, those that the walls came to, that by the virtue of today's meeting, I pray that they will not go back home the same. They will be healed. They will be set free. Today, these ones becomes a no-go zone for the devil. They have been marked by the Lord. Say, we bear the mark of Christ. Say, we have been marked by the Lord. No way evil will come their dwelling place. Father, we thank you for prayer answered. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.